Hey, Tata Olande, because Zimbabwe, Muhle Moriya Zimbabwe, if you're tuning in right now, you're tuned into Live Talk, our D Connection, brought to you live by Studio 7, a Voice of America, on Tuesday, August 17, 2021. Moriya Zimbabwe, Mthokozo Muhle, I'm your host, Mike Hove. Once again, Moriya Zimbabwe, if you're tuning in right now, welcome to Z Connection, Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth-related. We're coming to you live from our studios in Washington, D.C. Tonight on Z Connection, we continue focusing on the COVID-19 pandemic. We look at whether or not Zimbabwean schools are ready for in-person classes. We're also going to be focusing on youth empowerment in Africa, following the recently commemorated International Youth Day, which is commemorated annually on August 12th. If you're looking to join us, Moriya Zimbabwe, you can call us live in studio. The number is +1 202 619 2077. The number again, +1 202 619 2077. For those that are streaming this conversation live on Facebook, kindly share the program with your networks. Also, remember, Zulugandaba, Ufiti, Zelalapa, Upaluuti, like, Kutinya, Paipakan, the like, Uzi, Sibonuti, Nyempela, Nyempela, Sisonke, like so, Tito, Se Pano, Pachirongwa, Chedichevich, Niki, Jalo, Also, feel free to write the comments in the comments section. We're going to be reading those comments live on air. Without wasting time, Moriya Zimbabwe, let us delve into tonight's discussion. First up, an update on COVID-19. Now, according to the most recent information released by the Ministry of Health, Zimbabwe currently has 120,532 confirmed COVID-19 cases, 98,551 recoveries, and 4,138 deaths. Last night alone, 7,294 PCR tests were conducted, 4,444 new cases were detected, 1,228 recoveries, and 29 deaths. The country currently has 17,843 active cases. Now, to date, 2,091,550 people have taken the COVID-19 vaccine, and 1,254,206 have taken both the first and the second jab. Now, whilst on the discussion of the coronavirus in Zimbabwe, the Ministry of Information, in partnership with local companies in Zimbabwe, has been releasing educational material on the COVID-19 pandemic, the COVID-19 vaccine to be specific. Let us head over to a piece that they recently prepared, whereby President Emmerson Mnangagwa is urging people to take the COVID-19 vaccine.
I am Emmerson Mnangagwa, the President of Zimbabwe. Since 2020, Zimbabwe, like the rest of the world, has been fighting COVID-19. We have lost many of our loved ones, and those who have survived are still coming to terms with the trauma. Our way of life has changed as we adjust to the new normal. Many of you have been asking, is there a way out? Is there protection against COVID-19? Well, I'm here to tell you that you and I have a role to play in this fight.
Well, Moriya Zimbabwe, that was President Emmerson Mnangagwa there speaking on the COVID-19 vaccine in Zimbabwe. The clip you recently watched was courtesy of the Ministry of Information's Twitter page. Now, as mentioned early on, tonight on The Connection, we're going to be focusing on Zimbabwe's preparedness to open schools for in-person classes. Joining us live via telephone to give us more information is Obed Masaraure. He's an educator, and he's also the president of the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe. Mr. Masaraure, welcome to the program, Chief. How are you doing?
Thank you, Mike, for having me. Good night, good evening, viewers.
Thank you so much for joining me, man. Let's delve into it. You know, schools being opened has been extended week after week after week, seeing as though Zimbabwe is currently still under a lockdown and, of course, still fighting the COVID-19 pandemic. You guys are educators on the ground. Let us know, what are your thoughts on everything that's happening with regards to whether or not Zimbabwe is prepared to open schools?
Okay, so my reception is dead, but I think you just asked what is the opposition with regard to schools opening.
Right.
And I will speak to that. And our position is very clear. Schools should definitely open as a matter of urgency. And for schools to open, it is the mandate of the government of the day to attend to two particular issues. One, the government should urgently address the issue of teacher incapacitation. Teachers deserve a living wage, and if they don't get a living wage, it will be too much to ask them to go back to the classroom. Mm-hmm. Secondly, the government should be able to fund schools to be able to adhere to standard operating procedures so that at the end of the day, we don't have all schools becoming super spreaders of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
The standard operating procedures were produced by the government, and the government should fund adherence to the same. But lastly, we also have, obviously, a way that we have proposed, a way of opening schools,
mm-hmm.
Which is realistic in the context where we are saying, let's come up with a remote learning strategy,
mm-hmm.
which is contextual to each and every district in Zimbabwe,
mm-hmm.
To each and every geographical location in Zimbabwe, where remote learning is still possible if schools cannot adhere to standard operating procedures.
Mm-hmm.
They can still open remotely, employing resources that are available at their disposal to ensure that our learners don't lag behind.
Now, speak to me a little more about that. You guys are proposing that your schools be opened remotely first ahead of this whole program before we have in-person classes. For a very long time, the first complaint that a lot of teachers had is that they don't, especially for those in the rural areas, is a resource issue, saying that in rural areas, a lot of students do not have access to all the tools needed for e-learning. So how would you go around such a procedure?
Thank you so much. But it's very unfortunate that when we mention remote learning, people quickly jump to e-learning as mm-hmm. the only platform for remote learning.
Mm-hmm.
Remote learning can be online or offline.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to your mobile phone, even the one with the simplest of mobile phones, which cannot even connect to the internet, you can conduct lessons there. We have the USSD platform, where obviously people be where you can say *155#. Those platforms can be used for learning. You can disseminate information using that platform as an example.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the printing of worksheets that can be collected from a location, from a school, and then the learners can work on those worksheets, bring back the work, and then they can be collected and attended to by the teacher. It's still remote learning because there is no physical contact between the teacher and the learner.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there are spaces where there is radio, where if you have community radios, they can still be used for remote learning.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are saying is, let's innovate around the available resources.
Mm-hmm.
Each district should be allowed to sit down, the district school inspector should sit down with the school headmaster, headmistress, headmasters of that particular district, come up with a remote learning strategy which is compatible with the lived realities in that particular district.
Mm-hmm.
And this, those schools, those districts with the internet connection, let them use the internet connection. Those schools without, let them innovate and find ways of ensuring that learners can access learning material.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also another method, which is the parent-led learning. So the parent can be a proxy for learning, where through the parent, we're going to be able to ensure that some learning instructions are transmitted to the learner.
Mm-hmm.
And through the parent, we can still receive the feedback from the learner. So we just have to innovate with what we have. We can't sit down and complain
mm-hmm.
and say we have COVID-19 and learning has to stop. We are destroying a whole generation. And we all know that the longer the time the learners spend away from the school, the more mm-hmm. difficult it is for them to come back. Some will get pregnant, some will get into early child mm-hmm. marriage, some will get into drugs, child labor, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, we have millions of them dropping out when we eventually decide to open the schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we are saying, while we are pondering on how to effectively and safely open the physical classroom. Let's get a space and open the schools remotely.
All right, Mr. Masaraure, let me hold you on the line for a couple of seconds. There's an interview that my colleague Jonga Kandemiri had with the Director of Communications and Advocacy under the Ministry of Primary and Secondary School, Mr. Taunga Nandoro, whereby they were talking about whether or not Zimbabwean schools are ready for in-person classes and, of course, what government is doing to prepare schools for these classes. Let us head over to that conversation, whereby Mr. Nandoro speaks more on this, and then we're going to come back and hear more from Mr. Masaraure.
Bereki vari kuchema nenyaya yekuti hurumende iri kutarisirwa kuti vanozovhurwa zvikoro vana vange vachibatsira kana kuti vabereki vange vachibatsira nenyaya dzema PPE. Makamira papi sebazi? Masangano anomirira varairidzi ari kuti dai urongwa hwekubayiwa kwenhomba hwananganawo nevarairidzi sezvakaitwawo kune vakoti nezvimwe zvakadaro. Pane zviri kuitwa here nebazi renyu kuti varairidzi vange vachionekwa kuti vabayiwa nhomba?
Yebogambe zulu kandaba leyamuzwa umnumzana uThaunga Nandoro isikhulumeli so gatsha olubona ngezemfundo primary and secondary school uyasho ngempela ukuthi hayi bona njenge ministry bayacela phela ababalisi bayacela njalo abazali bayacela njalo abosomabhizimusi ukuthi basebenze ndawonye lo gatsha olubona ngezemfundo elizweni ukubona ukuthi impahla ezifunakalayo ezijonge ukuvikela ukumemetheka kwe-COVID-19 zikhona ziyatholakala ezikolo. Lokhu kuyafunakala ukuze izikolo ziyenelise ukuvula kahle. Mr. Masaraure, are you still on the line? Mr. Masaraure?
Hi, Mike.
Okay, yes. So I found it important for us to play that clip because earlier on you briefly touched on for schools to open, PPE is a necessity. And you're also urging government to ensure that all these PPE utensils are readily available. Government is here asking for parents to help out, asking for businesses to help out. What's your reaction to that?
It is very unfortunate that this is the same government that has been that has destroyed livelihoods. For example, they've been destroying the market stores for the informal economy. This is the same government whose policies have ensured that people have lost jobs and the government has failed to create jobs. It is also because of the COVID-19 reality that people have been in lockdown and they've lost their incomes. It is unheard of for the same government to be expecting parents now to be paying for PPEs. Mm-hmm. The only institution which is comfortable to be paying for anything at the moment is the government. Mm-hmm. Individuals have been rendered poor because of the COVID-19 reality. But our government has been declaring a surplus. So we would have thought that this is an opportunity for us to be using this surplus that is already being declared. Mm-hmm. Our government tells us that they only have 500 from the meeting we held on the 18th of August. They say there are 500 million RTGs, our local stopping, available for self-group opening. And we have a learner population of 5 million. So what that translates to is that each learner is going to receive 100 Zimbabwean dollars for standard, for adhering to standard operating procedures. And if you are going to be looking at the value of one face mask on the market, it is going, it is costing, if it's not a disposable, it's almost a dollar, which is around 200. So the amount that government is allocating is not even enough to buy one face mask. But we are sick. There are classrooms that have to be decongested. We need to be constructing tents where at least we identify some classes which have almost 90 learners, split them to three classes, because Zimbabwe is a shortage of 6,000 schools. How are we going to achieve that if we only have this 5 million? So we have a government which is abdicating from duty. We have a government which is focusing more on saving money, and the money then eventually disappears. We don't know where eventually it ends up at. But if we had these billions that were saved, we did thought that they would be invested in our education, in our health care, in the best interest of our people.
Now,
at the end of the day,
tell me something, Mr. Masaraude. I know for a fact that over the past week or two, you guys have also been conversing with government pertaining to this situation. Could you speak to a little more about that? What were these talks about, and how have they gone so far?
Yes, we had a meeting with the government where the ministry invited us to make our submission on how and when to open schools. And our input has been very clear that the how part of it is more fundamental. The when part of it is not very important, because schools should have been opened way back. We have countries that have opened their schools, like Malawi, which is just a poor country like our own republic. Their schools never closed. They had exchanged in said ways, but they never closed. Why? Because the government in Malawi invested in boosting the morale of the teachers. They ensure that the teachers earn at least something that that is open, a living wage. They invested in adhering to standard operating procedures prescribed by who? In Zimbabwe, the reason why schools are closed is not because of COVID-19. It is because the government is shying away from responsibility. Because the government knows that the moment they open schools, teachers will be demanding a salary which is consumer rates to the labor they are inputting, the salary which is a living wage. The schools open, teachers, learners, and parents are going to demand a safety in schools. So this government is simply shying away from this responsibility. When they allow them to blame COVID-19 for the continued closure of all schools, we have seen a lot of countries globally as poor as Zimbabwe. We have opened their schools and learners are learning. The reason why our schools are closed is because government doesn't want to pay teachers. Government doesn't want to provide for safety in our schools. This was our input to government, and we made a follow-up when we were now saying if the government is not prepared to pay, maybe they can now go on to support remote learning in the interim, whilst we wait for the day they will wake up and realize the need for urgently opening up the schools for all.
Let me hold you on the line for 1 second. Take my other guest who's joining us live via telephone, and then we're going to come back to you. Please don't drop off. Don't go far. Muri Zimbabwe, Lisandu Guzwa, Umnumzana, Uopet Masaraure, Nguye Pela Umongameli, Upresident, Uentanganiso, Ekokela, Ababalisi, Emela Amalungelo, Ababalisi, Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe. We have the legal secretary of the NASU, Umnumzana Uchingani Shoko, who's joining us live. Chingani is, as I mentioned, he's also a student, and he's the legal secretary of SINASU. Shoko, welcome to the program. Bafo Unjan.
America.
Chingani.
Hello.
Yeah, live on air, Bafo. How are you doing?
I'm okay, and you?
I'm good, man. Thank you so much for taking time out to join us. Lapa Kulayo. As I mentioned earlier on, you are the legal secretary of SINASU, and you're also a student. So talk to us a little more about how you guys are coping as students, especially those that are part of universities and colleges in Zimbabwe under the COVID-19 pandemic.
Well, can you come again? I really hear you. There's a lot of
can you hear me?
Traffic.
Can you hear me clearly now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Right. I was saying, Uwuti, talk to us a little more about how you guys are coping njengabafundi in Zimbabwe under the COVID-19 lockdown?
Sorry, Mike, I can't hear your question. I can hear you, but I can't hear your question properly.
Okay, uyangizwa kahle na, Jingani?
Ngiyakuzwa, bafo.
Right, bengithi ngicela utshele okuningi ukuthi how are you guys coping njengabafundi elizweni phansi kohlelo lwe-lockdown?
If I hear you well, you are saying how are we coping as students during this COVID?
Ngiyampela, ngiyampela.
Okay, it has been a very huge challenge for us as students because there is less investment in education sector. Actually, hello?
Yebo, qhubeka bafo, ngiyakuzwa.
Yes, actually what I can say about the education sector, we have seen more or less the collapse of the education sector due to lack of investment or resources that come from the government. We are seeing more or less a lack of priorities from the government, from the central government. For example, we are seeing the government, which is more or less ignorant to the plight of the students. As you can see, by the way, how they have handled the way of lack of investing in resources that try to cushion students as well as the teachers in as far as COVID is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, the other major challenge about this Marvel education sector is that this COVID has come at a stage where we are seeing the introduction of a new curriculum in Zimbabwe from the recommendation of the Dramasanga Commission of around 2099, if I'm not mistaken, 99. So this has come at a time where COVID is ravaging the global community, and we are seeing the government not doing so much in as far as addressing the education sector is concerned.
Now, you touched on indaba yama resources. Speaking particularly for the primary and secondary sector, I know that government have, for example, distributed ama radios, etc., etc., to ensure that at the very least, especially for those abasemaphandleni, can get access to an education. Do you not think that's government's way of attempting to help?
The truth, Mike, is we already have seen a lot of, there's a huge gap, or should I say there's a huge gap of inequality in as far as the private sector and the public sector is concerned in as far as the student fraternity. So basically, these gaps have exposed the education sector of Zimbabwe because the gap continues to enlarge. Mm-hmm. Because of COVID. So this whole COVID scenario has actually led to more marginalization in as far as the education sector, the public education sector is concerned. And it's more or less of now education is becoming an elitist thing in Zimbabwe because those who are affording to go for private school mm-hmm. are going to attain good results. This has also been evidenced by the results that came through last year when students sat for exams. And what matters most is that we all know in Zimbabwe that students are going to write exams whether we like it or not. So the inequality gap keeps on enlarging in as far as the student, the education sector is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Right. Ebengicela ukuthi uphinde umbono wakho bafo ngolimi lwesiNdebele ngenxa yokuthi we have some listeners who only speak isiNdebele. Ubachazisele umbono wakho.
Sorry, angizwa bafo.
Bengithi bengicela uphinde umbono wakho ngesiNdebele.
Okay. Into esiyibonayo njengabafundi sibona ukugandezelwa kakhulu kulokhu kuhamba phambili okwabafundayo, especially bonke abafundi abafunda esingathi kuma public institution, labo bonke abafundi abakuma public institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Lokhu kwenzeka ngoba abantu bafundi bamaphandleni kumbe abafundi abafunda kuma government institutions, they have always suffered the brunt of inequality in as far as education is concerned. So, it's more or less paying attention to the private sector, because for Nigerian government, private institution, lama public institution, kufanani.
Sesithinta ke indaba ye COVID-19 vaccine bafo siyabona ama ngisanda ukuthola iphepha elithi kulezinye izikolo ezikhuthaza abafundi ukuthi either bathathe i-vaccine evikela i-COVID-19 or bathathe i-COVID test ukuze bayenelise ukubhala imihloliso yabo. Njengabafundi likubona njani lokho?
Into engibezela abafundi manje, because nxa sikubona ka test there akula proper implementation ye vaccine program. If you ama isikolo zivalwe half hazard, so uphonga ukugijinyiswa abanye abafundi baphendise izindlini zabo bengakwaniswanga ukuthi betheste ngenxa yokuthi it seems we are resourceless as a country, but imali zonke ezivela ku World Health Organization asiziboni. The Minister of Finance has said there is surplus in Zimbabwe, but that surplus can't even be directed towards ukuthi thina njengabafundi benefit. So local, we see a government, I think Mike, you once held a conversation where I've always continued to talk to you, the government said indicator left quota and eternal right every time, as long as it has to do with education. We see so many misplaced priorities, and the okusihluphayo thina njengabafundi abamelela abafundi ukuthi ngekonso sonke isikhathi nxa sesikhuluma ngendaba lezi ukuya sokhanda ngani we are being a political activist instead of student activist. So this you are going to see is going to affect most students, because a vaccination program yakhona i-implementation yayo, well, yes, in some areas it's being done, but we have areas like Kushinga Pikelele. Think of areas like Nwange, Jambezle, Ewange, Emakwale, Pansle, Lenzinda, we have places in Nwange, Njeng, and Kandepe, where there is no, the network is limited. We have places like, we have places that are deep lying in rural areas where this vaccination, people have to travel to get such vaccination. So the vaccination program should first be availed to each and every student. Mm-hmm. Because the government, I believe, we are in a database. Yama students are all, that was Yama students one up. So when they implement the vaccination program, Yama students, before they talk about which a student should have been vaccinated, being a Rangian, to my extent.
Hayi, ishoko siyakuzwa bafo, ngiyabonga kakhulu isikhathi sesehlwe ngumangoyi. Please can you throw ama last sentiments akho sigqibele ingxoxo.
Alright, thank you so much for having me, Mike. It's always my pleasure. Ngiyaqhubeka njalo thina students as activists, we are always clear and we stand where we stood and we stood where we stand. Every time when you want a conversation, we are always ready to give our insights. The government should prioritize students, because there's no country without education. That there's no future without education, and the future is the youth, and the youth needs to learn. And you can only learn when the government is able to push more resources into the education sector. That's all I can say for today, Rafa.
Hi, Nyabonga Chingani. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's head back to Vamasaraure Tipete Urukuredu. Vamasaraure, Muchiripo Parinare.
Ndiripo Mkoma Mike.
Right, Manzwa, Mudzidzi, Anga Chitsana Nguraka Maondro Ake, Zwaru Kusangana Nazo, Seva Dzidzi, Iwo Avuvaruma University. Sindanchila kubata nyaya yenomba iyi. Seva Rairidzi, zvizva muri kuonawo munyaya yenhomba, nekuti tinonzwa vanhu vachiti mukabayiwa nhomba, dambudziko irirema in-person classes hatingasangane nazvo. Zvizva muri kusangana nazvo?
Munyaya yenhomba tinenge tichikurudzira, tisu tatozvakakurudzira kuti vanhu vabayiwe nhomba. Dambudziko guru ratasangana naro ihurumende inovhumbidzira vanhu kuti vauye vabayiwe, panze pekuvanyengeredza kuti vauye vabayiwe. Saka chanyanya kuuraya inyaya yekuti awareness yedu needucation yanga iri shoma. Mukavhundutsira kuti mukasabayiwa tichakubayiwa, vanototanga kutowedzera kutya kubayiwa kwacho. Dambudziko guru ratakasangana naro pabasa redu tichiti Rumende ba mshito wa shakuzi angere da sakata ngarati siti. Chepili, amzukuranga iske panyaye kube wakwe nomba. Mugatarisa, pane ngamu ya ke mandatory vaccination kangaza akuwe. Asi mandatory vaccination osa ayo chile mukatora, niwa alozi ya sheutalo. Kalu kuze uchino kuna kuramba, kutipudiriri. Nangani kitora ni umwe mura iriji, angaji kushuga yake, ilipa 9.2, unanozi ya uti unanozi ya sheshuga, inanzi nosa na ugumba pa 6.
Gaindi kubatei pamuromo mkoma nguwa njiwa jikana nene tichana umu ukesa haru kupinda mchurongwa saka ipapo ndoto thank you so much for joining us anema shoko enyu tichato zokutua gai choku zosa ezwekare zukoro pazuno vurandis
anilotela mkoma mbaya jitafara kukitano mweni urukuro ya ganaka.
All right, thank you so much, Maria Zimbabwe. You heard there from Obed Masaraure, the president of Artuz, and of course, Jingani Shoko, who is the legal secretary of Zinasu. He's also a student. If you're joining us right now, Maria Zimbabwe, welcome to the Connection Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth-related. If you have been live streaming with us, thank you so much for being with us. I remember you can call in live on air. +1 202 619 2077 is the number to call. You can also write your comments in the comments section, and we're going to be reading them live on air on our three Facebook pages, VOA Studio 7, VOA Shana, and VOA Ndebele. Zulugandaba, lilalele uhlelo lwethu lwabasakhulayo, Chirongwa, The Connection with Mike Hove.
Zichipanda poe kama umawiza, amekuwa edo artist, aka Mr. Nkulumistu wa nge veneki. Guys, COVID-19, abaibiza nge corona, inte kona. Pambili nge social distancing, askeze ni zanja, always, stay safe, stay home. Last night.
Easy, Majid, easy.
Shout out to Mr. Nkulumis Kiwang Evenekula. Mawiza, Mawiza, Mawiza. For more on his work, follow him on social media at Mawiza Online. Now, earlier on, Muria Zimbabwe, I mentioned that we're going to be focusing on youth empowerment. Following the most recent International Youth Day commemorations, this year's theme of the annual commemorations that are held every year on August 12th are focused on youth empowerment and youth participating in food security. Last Thursday, the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Arts and Recreation had a virtual meeting whereby youth from different sectors addressed the issues regarding youth empowerment and food security in Zimbabwe. Let us head over to a clip we have courtesy of the ministry's Facebook page of Honorable Kirsty Coventry talking about the strides Zimbabwe has made when it comes to youth empowerment in Zimbabwe.
So what is Zimbabwe and what is the government doing? Well, right now we know that the government has low-hanging fruit and that we are wanting to poise and catapult the economy through exciting initiatives and innovations that are spearheaded through and by my ministry and the ministry responsible for lands and agriculture, as well as different financial institutions. So what have we done? Well, we've been listening to what the lacking areas are, so lack of access to land, lack of finance, and we've looked at those to say, how do we turn those into opportunities? And we have started by having new initiatives through the Empower Bank. We've started those initiatives through the Youth Focal Desks. We've started by the review of the national policy, which has led to the promulgation of the National Youth Act. All of these things have come from an opportunity that we've seen to be something that is lacking into an opportunity that will benefit youth. So there are existing opportunities to empower youth at different stages of the agricultural value chain. And by harnessing increasing new technologies and approaches, we will be able to create new jobs, more jobs, increased food production, and we would be able to produce a less reliance on food imports.
Well, Muria Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Honorable Kirsty Coventry speaking on youth empowerment and food security in Zimbabwe. To watch the full broadcast, head over to the ministry's Facebook page. But whilst on the same discussion, I also reached out to human rights activist and the author of the book, The Struggle for a Free Zimbabwe, Nyasha Gwazemba, to hear his thoughts on youth empowerment on the African continent. Let's hear what Nyasha had to say.
Ai ngiyabonga Mr. Wobe mina ukubona kwami kwezokulima kahle kathesi elizweni lakithi kwezokulima sisasesikhathini sokuthi abantu kusakhethwa umhlabathi usaphiwa ebantwini aba aligned abaqondane lebandla abanye ama youth awakakhanyelwa akananzwa in terms of ukunikwa umhlabathi ukuthi hayi sikhanyele ukuthi hayi njengoba sinomhlabathi umhlabathi kawuphiwe wonke umyouth osezimbabwe abantu abatsha basakhethekile abakhanyelwa nxa kubuya kwezokulima kuyathiwa hhayi le generation ngabantu bamafoni le generation ngabantu abakwazi ngezombusazwe so kugcina kuthathwa umhlabathi lwana oyabe uvele uthethwe kwabalungu umhlabathi lwana uphiwe abadala kumbe uphiwe abantu abasakela ibandla so kuleyo ndaba kwezokulima njalo lezikhundla zangikhona elizweni lakithi abantu abatsha abakakhanyelwa sibuye sikhanyele sihambe elizweni laseRwanda ubaba umongameli waseRwanda uPaul Kagame ufake undoda ole 20 or 23 years old ukuthi abe nguminister of information thina elizweni lakithi abantu abatsha asikananzelelwa ezikhundleni kumbe engatsheni ezithiyethiyeneyo
uhulumende kamongameli Emmerson Mnangagwa uthi uyasebenza gadalala ukubona ukuthi abantu abasakhulayo balakho ukuzithuthukisa or bayathola amathuba okuzithuthukisa elizweni ukubona njani lokhu ubona ngani kulokhu kwenzakala na
akula nto enjalo eyenza uhulumende wethu i-empowerment bank ibhenki enika abantu imali but ama-youth akhonakala nje ngokutho ukuthi abantu kusakhethwa ukuthi hayi lo umele ibandla nguye okumele aphiwe isikhundla nguye omele aphiwe imali kusakhethwa njalo lohlelo lolo lokuthi abantu baphiwe umhlabathi
abantu bakithi asikama youth aka recognize njalo sabakaphiwa lo mhlabathi ukuthiwa siyawuphiwa umhlabathi lo usasekhethwa.
The government is not recognizing the youth. They are not giving us land. Iland yangkhona le mali ama bank loans. If you go to ama banks now abanika ama youth loans. Njalo ama programs abawachoyo lawa ngukhulumende wethu Mr. Mnangagwa ukuthi yena ulama programs anjalo awenza uwenzela ngapi ngoba thina sikayiboni le empowerment kuma youth.
Muri Zimbabwe, that was Nyasha Kwazemba, human rights activist and the author. He's based in Gontutuzea Tunga, Gobulawayo. He was speaking on youth empowerment in Zimbabwe. Mazunzuraka Muri Zimbabwe, Wechidiki, Burueko Zero Zeranu, Pamwe Nemunyori, Angachi Zea Kamaondroake, Pamsorope Zenyae, Zekustimu Ziru, Wechidiki Muzimbabwe, Aruta Aiwa Bodo, Iwo Sevechidiki, Avasku Juona. Earlier on, Manzwa, Honorable Kesi Coventranga, Tara Patrongo Changaina last week, Nemso China. Upon Chitana Guraoka Zrukitka Munika Batanya Empowerment Bank, Vakabatanya Zmuzakasiana Siana. But now to help us delve deeper into more opportunities that are in Zimbabwe, we're joined by Nicholas Kajengo, who is under the Ministry of Agriculture, the Youth Desk. Mr. Kajengo, welcome to the program, Chief. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. Greetings to you all, Nicholas.
Right, ngatsito pindai munyaya tinayo vakajengo. Last week was International Youth Day. A day set aside was focusing on youth empowerment. In Zimbabwe, we've spoken to different youth, and some feel as though Zimbabwe still has a long way to go when it comes to youth empowerment. How
Thank you very much, Brother Woe. First and foremost, I just want to say congratulations for the day, the National Youth Day, which went under the theme Transforming Food Systems, Youth Innovation for Human and Planetary Health. Now, the starting point, the theme of the National Youth Day for the year 2021 speaks a lot about the opportunities that are in existence in as far as youth in agriculture are concerned. Because actually, the opportunities are also centered on the food system itself. Basically, what we need to understand before I explain my brother and the world, the class, is that we need to understand what the systems are. Food system, effectively, we are talking about the sum of actors and interactions along the food value chain, from input supply and production of crops, livestock, fish, and other agricultural commodities to transportation, processing, retailing, wholesaling, and preparation of food to consumption and disposal. From this clarity, from this definition, from this explanation, it's now clear that agriculture is broader. From its entire value chain, there are vast opportunities for the young people that have been existing, that are existing, and that will remain existing.
Talk to us a little more about those opportunities, Vakajengo. Earlier on, I was speaking to a human rights activist. He's also a young person. He, too, has tried to delve into, for example, accessing land and all that. Some of the things that Honorable Kirsty Coventry focused on last week. As far as Iwa, Iwo Sivechidiki, they're facing so many challenges. If anything, the chat of young people receiving land based on political affiliation continues to come up. So speak to us more about these opportunities and how young people can go about finding these opportunities.
Okay, thank you very much. I think, as I said, if you are talking of food system in agriculture, we are talking of the value chain that exists in the agriculture itself. Firstly, we talk of land. Land can be availed through joint ventures, through applying it through various ways. It can be communal, it can be through the through the Ministry of Land and Agriculture, A1, A2, among others. Besides that, we age and we are seeing young people taking part in the value chain. A lot of young people are involved in the transportation of agricultural produce. They are involved in the processing, they are involved in the retailing, wholesaling, preparation of food, consumption of coal to dispose of. This means that there are vast of opportunities for those who want to be employed or to have the opportunities under the agricultural sector.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about where people can find land. Could you be a little more specific, aside from just saying, can you go to the ministry? Because for a lot of people, it's not like they can just pick up the phone and say, hi, Minister Nduda Wanaoka Munda. Where exactly do they go? Speak to the local person on the ground, especially the young person who is really, really looking to get into agriculture but has no clue where to start for them to be able to get this land and the capital that's needed.
Okay. Basically, what we all want to understand is that land has got various models. We have got communal land. Communal land is acquired through local authorities. Local authorities refer to traditional leaders, village heads, chiefs, and headmen. These are the ones who are responsible. They are the ones who are in charge of the communal land.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we have got the land that is acquired through the ministry responsible for land. This includes A1, the A2, under these various schemes or models, anyone can apply freely through district, through provinces, because the land actually is acquired after one is applied formally through district. Because at the district level, there is a committee that decides, that looks into application. The committee at district level is chaired by DDC, District Development Coordinator. The same is applicable at provincial level, where the Minister of State is the chairperson of the provincial level committee. So it's up to the provincial level committee, it's up to the district level committee to decide who gets land. However, in terms of application, in terms of acquisition, every Zimbabwean has got equitable rights and, of course, access to acquire the land, because the land is applied for and availed to any Zimbabwean, to any applicant, irrespective of whatever sphere of life, whether it is political, social, or economic sphere. Mm-hmm. As long as one has got passion, ability, capability, and willing to acquire land, as long as the land is there, as long as the application of the applicant is decided and, of course, agreed by the committee, then one can acquire the land. That is the process. That is the procedure. And there is no any shortcut to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Va kajengo ndanchikumbura kuti mumbotsanangurirawo vateereri nerurimi rwaamai. Tamboita hurukuro neumwe wevechidiki vagwazemba. Vari kuti aiwa zuva iri reInternational Youth Day rakakosha zvikurusa, asi nhau yekusimudzirwa kwevechidiki muZimbabwe inenge iti inombonetsa, nekuti vari kuti ivo sevechidiki vari kusangana nematambudziko akawanda. Vabatawo nyaya yeminda vachiti aiwa sevechidiki havasi kuwanda minda, uyezve land yekuitira kuti vakwanisewo kuita mabhizinesi avo. Vabatawo nyaya yeempowerment bank, vakati kuempowerment bank vanhu vanongozivawo vakawana mari, vanhu vane kadhi remusangano reZANU PF. Havasi kuzivawo vanhu vasina kadhi reZANU PF vasiri kuwana mari yekuwanawo mukana wekusimudzira mabhizinesi avo. Ndanchikumbirawo kuti muzeye nyaya iyoyo zvizere, muvatsanangurirawo kuti zvii zviri kuitika kuitira kuti vechidiki vawanewo ruzivo maererana nenyaya iyi.
Maita basa, maita zvakanaka. Chokwadi chiripo ndechekuti vechidiki munyaya dzeagriculture, munyaya dzekurima, vane mukana wakakura zvikuru. Sezvanga tichitaura nerurimi rechirungu kuti muagriculture mune mukana wekuti vanogona kuwana minda iyoyo, vanokwanisa kupinda muvalley chain, munyaya dzetransport, muagriculture, munyaya dzekuprocessawo, munyaya dzekutenda nekutengesa zvinowanikwa mukurima. Uye zvakare panyaya yamataura yakakosha nyaya yeminda. Minda ine mhando dzakasiyana. Minda inogona kuwanika kuriki dani masa bukuni mazishi. Minda yuru juroro arutongi nebazre agriculture asikuti. Chino tonga ni mazishi ni masa buku. Iwa ayo vano inda kwa wari vano chawara na awari njire akanaka. Iyo masa bukuni mazishi wani minduro yaka gara maringi. Nekiti minda yuku makubina yuku marizeva inda wani kesei. Kepiri ni minda ya chinoti sisu minda ima resettlement na A1 na A2 minda iuwa ni kakulikiza nekuti munu ano nyorela kana uti ano isa ya chinati mchirungu application ano chaga munda through ma district aki ni ma province pa district wano chaga ma fomu kuma office e minister of land pa district ipapo wano fila ma fomu ya wachinatirwa nevari mitiwebu wekuma district kata kuma province aki zile jaku komiti ipa district komiti ipa district ino tunamiri wana mjiki GDC mjiki ashanda ariweja ano shanda nema kurukota aki pa district ipapo wano kanga nipia wa shandi mubazire kurima nema mungu wa shandi wa urumende wa anisho kuhika ne ya idodi zimechete pa province uonza kare unukwazi sabisa application directly ku province kune komiti nende hivi koza kare urukota re urumende re duni ndo hori nende bitina mera urumba iwo hori shanda uonza kare ne komiti yeta itao wanumira wiki wiki wani garibu mkomiti umomo wanumira wane uende wani garibu komiti umomo saka ini nyei komiti inge inge maistua kawanda aninga istaita mati ote ya kakosha unyaze kurima unyaze mudi ili saka chokorandopa njere kutu lend ino apply wa nema na wese Zimbabwe ni mune wese anona kukuti atakozera kunge akirara mamunya de kurima saka zvakare ndoti chemese dzipadzekese kuti nyaze kurima nyaze dumbu adzina kuti uriye chechi uriye bato ripi uri mufiti uri murefu munhu wese ane kodzero yekurarama neminda munhu wese ane kodzero yekutsvaga munda munhu wese ane kodzero yokuwana munda zvakare
aiwa vakajengo regai ndikubatsei pamuromo tatosvika kumagume eurukure yedu. Thank you so much for joining us. Unfortunately, time ndiyo yamhanya ndiyo yatopera asi tichakudzosai pachirongwa kuti tiendere mberi nehurukuro iyi handiti
ndinotenda hangu.
All right, thank you so much, Muri Zimbabwe. You're hearing there from Nikos Kajengo. He is under the youth desk in the Ministry of Agriculture. But now, whilst in the spirit of youth empowerment on the African continent, over the weekend, youth from the SADC region are going to be hosting an e-rally whereby they're going to be meet, and some are going to be in Malawi on the ground, where the presidents are currently meeting for the SADC summit. Youth are going to be using this rally to protest against human rights violations in Mozambique and Eswatini. To hear more about this program, I caught up with one of the organizers, Ashton Bumira of the Youth Forum Zimbabwe. Let's take a look at that interview.
Month of August is a very, very important, you know, month, you know, for us as young people. The month of August, you know, we celebrate the International Youth Day. So we find it very, very important to stand with our brothers and sisters in Swaziland. I think you understand what was happening in the past, you know, few weeks. There were some disturbances, and a lot of people were actually killed by security services, you know, for just demanding political reforms and also an end to the monarch in the kingdom. Most of these, you know, challenges, young people, they are the ones who are affected most. So on Saturday, the 26th of August, we are going to organize, you know, a solidarity rally in Lilongwe. So the program will be a hybrid program. So there will be participants who will be in Lilongwe, and we are also going to have, you know, other participants following, you know, via the Zoom platform. So what we are going to do is we are going to have solidarity statements from, you know, young people from the SADC region. At the end of the conference, we are hoping to have 10 key asks where young people are going to detail what they want, you know, their leaders at the regional level, you know, to work on.
Why do you find it so important that young people stand aside each other from the SADC region to fight some of these challenges? Why is it so important that you as a young Zimbabwean stand alongside someone from Mozambique and someone from Eswatini to fight the challenges that they're facing in their countries?
SADC is a region. You know, there was so much solidarity. I will give an example. During the liberation struggle, if you look at what happened, for us, you know, to get our, you know, our independence, it was because of Zambia, it was because of, you know, Tanzania, it was because of Mozambique. So as young people of today, we are, you know, learning from our history to say, in terms of challenges, what is it that we can do? And one thing we have, you know, identified is solidarity. We need to give each other solidarity. We need to, you know, do exchange visits. We need to share lessons. We need to share best practices. Because, Mike, you know, what we have discovered is that most of the challenges which are being faced by young people in the region, you know, the challenges, they are more or less the same.
And why Malawi? Why is that the central point where people are meeting?
Every year, the SADC heads of state, they do a summit. So the summit today, it is this coming, you know, weekend is happening in Malawi. So as civil society organizations from the SADC region, we are also going to meet in Malawi just to make sure that we also make noise in terms of the concerns, you know, we have as the people of SADC.
Now, for yourself, you're a young person in Zimbabwe. What would you like to be the outcome of such an event? To help Zimbabwean youth, to help Mozambique youth, to help youth across the whole SADC region, to help youth across the whole African continent.
You know, we want our governments, be it in Malawi, be it in Mozambique, you know, to craft policies, you know, which, you know, promote the participation of young people in politics and also in the economic affairs of our, you know, different countries. At the moment, you know, what is happening is most young people, you know, they are marginalized. They are not, you know, partakers in their different countries.
I want to briefly touch on, because you touched on the demands of young people. And a lot of experts say for those demands to come true or for those demands to become a reality, it starts on one thing, which they say is the ballot, having young people come out in their numbers and vote. Now, looking at Zambia, where they recently had an election and a lot of young people turned up, what do you think we stand to learn as African youth, as Zimbabwean youth per se, in terms of how we can make our demands a reality?
I think from the Zambian election, what is, you know, very clear is that, you know, when, let's say, 80% of the population, you know, participate as voters, it is very difficult, you know, for our leaders to rig elections. And also, it is very, very important because, you know, at the end of the day, the result will then reflect, you know, the aspirations of the, you know, majority of the population. So my message to, you know, fellow Zimbabweans, my message to young people is, as we are going towards, you know, the 2023 election, because I think at the moment it's now almost 23 months before the next general election. So we need to register to vote in our numbers. And on election day, we need to, you know, turn out, you know, and cast our ballot, because that's the only way, you know, as young people, we can, you know, set the future we want. Because I can tell you, over 60% of our population, they are young people. So we have a voice, and if we are united, you know, we can actually make the difference.
Well, Mbudia Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Ashton Bumira, the director of Youth Forum Zimbabwe. Make sure you pay attention to that e-rally. Muso Mkoera, vechidiki, vekusadak, varukubatana, varukunoratidzira kumalawi uko, anzi e-rally changeiripo. You can join virtually to see what's happening, standing in solidarity with the youth in Mozambique and Eswatini. Mune Zimbabwe tashika kumagume chirongwa chedu cheve chidiki. Just to check out a couple of comments on our Facebook pages. Thank you so much to a lot of people that joined. Hanzina Richard Moyo, hello, hello, brother Mike. Hanzina Maxwell Tsoka Bo. Edson Dawana says, yebo, yebo, Mike Hove. Nyabonga kulu wonke umuntu ongeneleyo kuhlelo. Kwanele kwalamhla mthwakazo omuhle Zimbabwe omuhle sesifikile emaphethelweni ohlelo lwethu labasakhulayo. To catch up with me at BigMike3 on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you so much to my guests for joining me. Unfortunately, my time is up. Let's meet same time, same place of Pano Panepenyere Studio 7. Mure Zimbabwe, have a good night. Bye-bye!